I'm excited about it. A brand new series. We just finished Goodbye, Earl. I might not should do this, but how many would say, Pastor, that Goodbye, Earl series helped me in my life? Can I see you? Praise God. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord some credit this morning. Amen? Amen? I don't want to teach the Bible anymore to where I'm just teaching you facts. I've always wanted to try to teach it in a real way for real life. But because of struggles in my own life, I was just trying to find answers for myself, you know, and some of my own personal struggle, okay, my family struggle. And but something happened in the meantime. I saw you people getting help. And you were like, wow, thanks for sharing, thanks for doing, thanks for teaching that way. And now that sort of drives my engine. That's the way I like to teach. Now, sometimes it's painful when you open up your guts and share them. But we all got issues, right? So let's learn together. Let's grow together. Let's be encouraged together. Amen? Let's be conquerors together. Let's lift our head up together. Let's move forward together. You see what I'm saying? Living in the past is not an option. Okay? And so me just having little Bible studies with you is not an option anymore for me. Okay? I like Bible studies. I like the in-depth stuff. Sure I do. But when you come here, we're going to try to help you live. You hearing me say? All right? So, this sermon, new series called Equilibrium. Crazy title. We had something else working. It hit me in the office the other day. I came out, Roger had graphics going for the other direction we were going. And I said, I don't like it. And I said, Equilibrium. And I don't even speak that. I'm from the country. I don't know what that is. But anyway, I sort of knew a little bit about it. I wanted to talk about balance in the family. Last week's message, the last on Goodbye Earl message, I talked about unbalanced affection. Jesus told that man that wanted to follow him, and you know, the young man said, I got to go say bye to family. I got to go to the house. I got to go to home. Remember? And the other one said, I got to go bury the dead. Remember? And one of the things that we talked about was Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Fit, in shape. Capable to really move forward in the direction you need to move forward. And so often what keeps us from doing that is some family issues. Are y'all listening so far? And even in family, you can have unbalanced affection. You can have unbalanced things going on inside the family. One thing that's been a real problem down through the centuries is the place that women have and the role that women have. It's been out of balance. In the church, it's been out of balance. Are y'all listening or not? We have women that serve here at Fellowship Church. Strong women that serve. I've got Miss Beamish back there. She can tell me off. Doesn't even faze her, does it, Dory? Not at all. She said, you got that right. Did you hear her? Women matter. But so much of the church has been out of balance. Do y'all agree with that, yes or no? Of course it has. Okay? So we're going to talk about balance in the family. Equilibrium. Balance in the family. We're going to do it between now and Father's Day. That's our deal, okay? Here we go. So let's roll with it. Equilibrium, finding the what? Balance in family. Something new I'm studying, looking at, just from the Word. But today's a special day. It's Mother's Day. So I got a special message for that on Mother's Day. Here we go. Let's roll. Equilibrium. First of all, I had to get my dictionary. I'm like, ain't it something like with your inner ear or something like the equilibrium or something like that? I didn't know. So what is it? The condition of a system in which all competing influences are what? Balanced in a wide variety of context. I kept looking. It's a state of rest or what? Now, these are actual definitions. I didn't put that word balance up there. Due to the equal actions of what? opposing forces. It's equal what? Between any powers or... I'm learning. I'm in my office. Mental, I need this. Or emotional what? So this series is going to be for me. Absolutely. Here we go. So what was the key word when I looked at all the definitions of equilibrium? Here's the word that was in every definition. Here it is. Balance. Balance. Are y'all awake? So let's talk about it. Today's first message in the series Equilibrium is called New Balance. New Balance. Can you say that with me? Come on. I know it sounds boring. It ain't going to be hanging here. New Balance. One more time. New Balance. That's today's message. Let's go for it. Following in His steps, in Jesus Christ's steps. Let's look at it and see what we can find on Mother's Day. Jesus brought balance to women. It's something you might not know, ma'am. You're going to know when you get done with me today. Okay? Jesus brought balance to women, and Jesus taught balance for women. And I dug into the Scriptures this week. This whole series on equilibrium is going to be about Jesus Christ and what He says about the family and children and fathers and relationships and money. Balance. That's what we're going to do. So when it was Mother's Day, I wanted to look at women, obviously. The most striking thing about the role of women in the life of Jesus Christ is that they were there at all. That's the most striking thing. No other rabbi had women hanging around. Do you understand? No other rabbi had women serving. So the most striking thing about women in the life of Jesus is that they were there at all. Did you understand what I just said? It's incredible. Keep looking. Jesus broke tradition because of culture and religion, not recognizing the value and equality of women. When He came, I'm going to tell you something, there's some new balance because there was a new sheriff in town. You understand? When He came. And you'll see it. This isn't stuff I'm making up to make women feel good on Mother's Day. It's in the Word of God. And we're going to learn by what we see today how we are to treat women and little girls. And older women. We're just going to look at the life of Jesus, and we're going to see the balance that He had with women. You understand where we're headed? It's not just a message for fellas. It's a message for ladies. It's a message for us. We can all learn from the character of Christ and His actions. Jesus treated every woman He met as a person in their own right. There is no recorded instance, none, zero, zip, where Jesus ever disgraces, belittles, reproaches, or stereotypes a woman. None. That could not be said of my life. Couldn't be said of me. Maybe it can be said of you. I doubt it. Sir, that's an incredible statement right there on that screen. Jesus always encouraged and affirmed women. Always. In the Scriptures. You'll see it. Of all the founders of all major religions, Jesus Christ stands alone as the one and only one who did not discriminate against women. I don't know if you just heard what I said. Of all of them, of all major religions, He's the only one that didn't put them down, and He stands alone. Jesus' words or actions never encouraged the disparagement of women. Ever. You hearing me? This is incredible. Jesus Christ's ministry was not limited to particular groups or persons, but to everyone who would believe. How refreshing that is. Amen? Man, even I count. Even I matter. Make you feel good? This is our Savior, man. You talk about balance. When a woman looks at all the major religions she can honestly only conclude that Jesus Christ is the only one who totally values her as one who was fearfully and wonderfully made. Guess who said that? I did. Okay? I hope that'll make on some quotes one day. Amen? Listen, I'm going to say something. I told a lady at Bob Evans the other day. She's checking. I was going to say she's checking me out. But anyway. Well, she was. I can't, you know. Anyway, no. Anyway. Here we go. Back to earth, Gary. Anyway, I was at Bob Evans, and the lady, she's known me there for years, and she knew I'd be having a big Sunday. Every Sunday's a big Sunday for me. So I told her what I was preaching on. And I told her of all the major religions, the founder of all major religions. If you go look at the founder of all major religions, only one didn't discriminate, belittle, reproach, stereotype women, only Jesus. And I told her, and she's a believer. I said, look, if he didn't do anything else, why would you pick any of them other religions? If he didn't do anything else, why would you pick another religion if all of them did that, but he didn't? Why wouldn't you just follow him for that reason? Ladies, are you listening or not? Did I lose you? And the lady said, yeah, and he died on the cross and rose from the dead too. And I said, yes, he did. Amen. But he's the only one who affirmed women. I hope I didn't lose you. And he backed it up with his life, his words, his teaching, and the way we are to treat you and to honor you. Okay? Let's keep looking. Jesus brought what? New Balance. Now that was just a little intro. Now here, are y'all ready? Here we go. Okay, it's going to take a little. Here we go. Don't get weak on me. Here we go. Jesus reached out to many, many women. Now remember, the odd thing is that there was even any around him at all. Up to his coming, you don't see it. Doesn't happen. Most of these women were inconspicuous, silent sufferers. When you read the Bible and you see the women whose lives he touched, they were unnoticeables and they were untouchables. So they were inconspicuous, they were unnoticeable, and they were untouchables. They were inconspicuous, they were unnoticeables, and they were untouchables. That's who he spent so much time with. What a wonderful Savior. Keep looking. Now I'm going to look at four of them. Are you all right? Don't faint on me. Here we go. Go look at four of them. Four women. The first one, the woman hemorrhaging blood. Let's look at the scripture. Let's go to the Bible. Mark 5. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Say 12 years with me. 12 years. She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but got worse. What does that mean? Here's what it means in plain, straight-up English. This woman didn't have a period once a month. It was every day. You listening or not, church? It was every day. For 12 years. Okay. Now we have a nursery, okay? You listening to me? Help me on that one. I'm being serious. We have a nursery so I can stay focused. Y'all got me? Yes or no? So this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. So the bleeding wouldn't stop. She was, according to religious teaching and tradition, unclean. A woman, when they were menstruating, could have nothing to do with a man. She would defile the man. So here's a woman who's like that all the time. You understand? And when she heard of Jesus, she came into the crowd, the press, the big crowd. And she came in behind Jesus. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say other stuff. I know you might not like it. But there weren't Walgreens, CVS's, and the conveniences and the things, the technology that we have today. Just Gary's opinion. I believe it was noticeable. I believe you could tell that she was bleeding. That's probably how she made her way to Jesus. You hear me? Usually when there's a big old crowd, you can't do that. That old crowd might have split. That's just my opinion. You understand? So she came in from behind him and touched the bottom of his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I can be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not sure what the issue of blood was. This is how I'm seeing it. Okay? And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press or the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging you, and you saying, who touched you? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him, and she told him everything in truth. And he said unto her, say it with me, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Now you read that through the Bible, and you just keep on going. And you slow down. Jesus practiced touch. What do I mean by that? He touched people. And Jesus put himself in places where he could be touched by people. Did y'all hear me? I wish I could get you to do that. More and more and more and more and more and more and more. Not only reach out and touch people, but put yourself in places where people can walk up and touch you. Why sit in the corner of the restaurant when you can sit smack dab in the middle? Say, I like my privacy. How about get it balanced in your thinking and start thinking about your community and start thinking those people all around in that restaurant. I might find somebody. There might be somebody here who might know me. I'll pop myself right down the middle. We're going to have us a good time. Y'all hearing me or not? I know it's a little goofy maybe. Jesus, on purpose, put himself in places where he could touch people but where they could reach forth and touch him. That's one thing I learned. According to traditional religious teaching, a woman who was menstruating or hemorrhaging blood was considered defiling to a man. She touched Jesus. So here she is defiled, reaching out and touching a rabbi who's got a big old crowd of people, and everybody knows this isn't right. And two things happened when she touched Jesus. Number one, the hemorrhaging stopped. Number two, she was found out. What am I learning about balance and equilibrium and all this stuff, Clark? You've lost me. Well, the disciples tried to brush the incident aside. Now, for years I thought there was just such a big crowd, they just thought, how do I know who touched you? But the more I thought about it, maybe the disciples knew who touched him. And that's why they brushed it aside. Because if it was found out who touched him, she's unclean. This whole party thing they got going on, this healing thing, this crusade meeting they got going on could all come to a stop. Does that make sense to you? Don't know if that's true or not, but I can certainly see the disciples doing such a thing because they're humans just like us. Jesus pressed, though, when they tried to brush the incident aside, Jesus pressed for the identity of the one who touched him. My question to you is, do you think Jesus knew who touched him? Absolutely! And there's going to be ramifications if he tells everybody that this bloody woman touched him. But that was his reasoning all along. You hear me? Absolutely. She was identified publicly. Not to embarrass her, to relate to her, to show her she mattered. She was treated as worthy and valued. And I can't help in my mind, yes, she's whole now and she's healed, but she probably still got on those same kind of clothes and maybe carrying that same stench. It's not pleasant. And he identified with her. How does that make you feel, ladies? That makes you feel good, doesn't it? Come on. She was blessed with healing, and then what did he do? He encouraged her. He encouraged her. You know what I wrote down? Jesus Christ showed incredible love for the outcast woman. That's who our Savior is. Haven't bored you yet, have I? That's our Savior. That's balance. Amen? That's some new stuff coming to town, ain't it? Say, in case you think Jesus is weak, are you kidding me? He put himself right there just so the crowd would mock him, just so the crowd would put him down, just so they would say that he ate with publicans and sinners and hung out with people who were defiled. Is that correct? Absolutely. Let's get another one. Now, the other ones aren't going to be quite as long. The 12-year-old daughter. How old was the previous woman? If my thinking is sort of straight, I would put her around 24 to 26 years old, the previous one. Here we got a 12-year-old. The daughter of Jairus. Mark 5, while he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken to this guy whose daughter had died, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Jesus speaking, "Don't be afraid, sir. Only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. "We're not going down the street to put on a show," Jesus said. "Y'all come with me." And he comes to the house of this ruler whose daughter had died. And there's this incredible tumult, stress, emotion. And them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, "Why make ye this ado, and why are you crying?" Jesus speaking. "Why are y'all crying and all wailing and looking like you look? The damsel's not dead, but sleeps." He said things to raise attention, to make people, I think, set up and take notice. Even make people think sometimes he's a little crazy. You know what I mean? On purpose so God could get the glory. And they laughed him to scorn. "You say she's sleeping?" And they went from crying to laughing. But when he had put them all out, "Get out!" He takes the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and enters where the little girl was laying. And he took the little girl by the hand, and he said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto you, arise." Now, I don't mean to be ugly, but I wish people that spoke in tongues would tell me what they're saying. Y'all hearing me or not? Jesus said something that shows up sort of weird in the Bible, but then at least I know what he said. That's for some other sermon. Keep going. "And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of what? And they were astonished with great astonishment." I don't know what that means. They were astonished with great astonishment. That's a lot of astonishment in one place. "And he charged him straightly that no man should know it." Y'all hush. Don't let nobody know this happened. There are plenty of other people going to tell them. "And commanded that something should be given her to eat." So what does this teach me? I'm trying to learn about Jesus and women. She was the daughter of a ruler. We saw that. Keep going. Jairus pleaded. Jesus went and the people mocked. Jesus took her hand. The girl sat up and then he said this, "Somebody get her some lunch." Amen? What did I learn? Real quick. Jesus Christ showed incredible love for the little girl. I'm starting to see a pattern now as I read my Bible. Maybe somebody in their 20s. Here's a little 12-year-old girl. Let's keep looking. New Balance. A widow with a dead son. Look at the scripture. Luke. It came to pass a day after that he went into a city called Nain. I've been there. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man being carried out. So there's a funeral going on. And the man was the only son of his mother. The only son of his mother. And she was a what? And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had what? Compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. Can you imagine him saying that to a mother? That's her dead son right there being laid on a stretcher, all covered up, cloth. And he came and touched the bier. Is that how you say that? Bier. I don't know. I had to look it up. It means the rods, the poles, like a gurney that a body would lay on, a stretcher. He reached and touched the poles. And they that bare him stood still. And he says, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead did what? Dead did what? Sat up and began to speak. Now that is some funeral. I'm telling you that right now. I'd love that. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on everybody. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. What did we learn? What did I learn as I was studying? Hang in here with me. It's Mother's Day. I'm trying to look about balance and how a woman should be treated, and a young lady and a little girl. This was a widow from a small hillside town in Galilee. Jesus noticed her grieving. We saw it. Jesus said, arise. He did. He gave back the widow her only son. Jesus Christ showed incredible love for the who? For the who? For the who? I guess we should too, shouldn't we say? Y'all listening this morning? So let's review. Maybe somebody, a young woman, a little girl, a widow, perhaps an older lady. Let's do one more. A young handicapped woman. Luke 13. And he was teaching. Now this is really interesting. Come on. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the what? Sabbath. You can't get more holy than what he's doing in a synagogue on a Sabbath day, and he's teaching. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made what? Straight. So she's not all crippled and bent over. You understand? And she glorified God. Now watch it. Do you think Jesus knew when he called her forth that it was Sabbath day? You think he was totally cognizant of what was happening and everything going on? You see, he's doing it again. I see him doing this. I got you, Jesus. I'm learning something. You're doing these things. And you're waiting for people to get there. You're saying certain things. You're your own purpose, putting yourself in a place to where people are going to mock you and think ill of you. Now remember, he's doing this all for who? Women. That right there was enough right there to get him run out of town. So here he is on a Sabbath healing this person in a synagogue. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Can you imagine somebody getting healed and being straight and some religious guy gets all ticked off and starts blasting people for it being done? Isn't that stupid? Say, don't you want to take something like that? Somebody like that and beat him upside the face? Say, are y'all with me on that or not? I'm sorry, excuse me.
And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in the week when men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, say a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. What I learned, he was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath. We said that. He saw her. He said to her, you're free. He touched her. Wait, there he goes again. Putting himself in places where he can touch people and be touched. The young woman was rebuked, and she was what? Berated by the religious leader. You know what Jesus did? He rebuked and berated him. Good, I like that. Boy, she's right there. Connie's preaching with me. Come on. Jesus affirmed her where? In what? On what day? Now, this is very interesting. He affirmed her in... In fact, he's even talking to a woman. It's crazy. But he's healing her, and he's doing it in the Sabbath, on the synagogue, on what day? Sabbath day. And then he calls her what? That's very interesting. You ought to write that down or make a note. It's the only reference to a woman being called a daughter of Abraham in the whole New Testament. I mean, he went for the juggler. Jesus did. I mean, it was bad enough. It's like, well, we already done it. We may as well go over the top. I love that. You that think you got a sissy Jesus, you have lost your mind. He is tough as nails. You hear me? But he could love, man. It's incredible. Can we say this, ladies, especially? Come on. Thank you. One more time. Thank you, Jesus. He affirms you. Now we're done with the message. Almost. Jesus Christ showed incredible love for the oppressed young woman. So it looks like we got like a fan open here in all spectrums. Jesus cared for women. Do you see it? I don't have all day, but I could have taken all day. Keep looking. Jesus stood with women when they stood alone. Say that with me. Jesus stood with women when they stood alone. I want every woman to say that. Now, I don't care what you're doing. Just stop it. And look at me. I want you to say that with me. Every woman. Let's let just the women say it. I want you to say this today. I want you to know this today. Say it with me. Jesus. Can we do it one more time? And can ladies, can we say it like we mean it and get a little ugly with it? Here we go. One more time. 1, 2, 3. How's that make you feel? Make you feel good? That's your Savior. As a new sheriff in town. Amen? The Son of the living God. What do I mean? The prostitute in Luke 7. Read about it. I could do this all day. The sinful woman in John 4. The woman at the well. Remember her? The adulterous woman in John 8. Where was the man? Both guilty. It tells you about the culture of the day. You understand? Whether it was his own mother, his friends Mary and Martha, or followers like Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, or others, Jesus valued and affirmed women. That's who he was. That's balance, guys. Are you hearing me say, well, I'm the man of this house. Ladies, you ought to get up and go, well, I'm the woman of the house.
We're a team. You understand? It's about submitting to one another here. You understand? Inconspicuous, unnoticeable, untouchables. Little girls, young ladies, women, married, singles, or widows. Jesus brought you New Balance. Amen? When you really know Jesus like that, boy, He evened the playing field, didn't He? What a Savior. Out of all major religions, according to historical documents, you can check it out on Wikipedia, only one didn't discriminate, belittle, reproach, stereotype women. His name is Jesus. He'd like me to tell you this today, ladies. Happy Mother's Day from Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good stuff. Thank you, Lord.